It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hey ladies, this is Jean.
Hi, this is Kathleen. We're so happy to be with you today.
Yes, we are. And ladies, I'm lacking sleep because I am a grandma for
Yay.
The first time. We are so excited. My sweet daughter had our first grandbaby. His name is Aiden Boyd Gallagher, and he is just absolutely precious. So if I make a little blunder with my tongue today, it's because I have been at the hospital holding grandbabies for a couple days now.
She is sleep deprived.
Sleep deprived, walking it with my daughter.
Ladies, we are so excited to introduce to you a woman who is going to be speaking here in Charlotte on Saturday, February 11th, that's 2023 as we're recording. Her talk is going to be from 1:30 to 3:30, and actually there'll be two speakers, but from 1:30 to 3:30 at Charlotte Catholic High School in the Fine Arts Building. So if you live anywhere in and around the Charlotte area and you can make it to here easily, we have hotels too if you can't do it in a day. But I would encourage you to come and hear this message. So our guest today is Anne Vucic, and she is going to be speaking about the messages from Our Lady received by the seers in Medjugorje. And I'm just going to let our listeners know right up front. So Jean and I are Southern girls. So for us, it's Medjugorje. That's
yep.
That's how we pronounce it.
Yeah.
But we know that that's not how it would be pronounced locally.
That's
so
pretty good.
And
pretty good.
Welcome to Joyful Echo.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you, Kathleen. It's such a joy to be here with you guys. It's such a joy to have the opportunity to speak about Medjugorje, which is the way you say it.
Yes.
But you know what? I've heard every iteration of it. And you know what? The heart is what's important. So.
That's right.
There you go. So before we get started, Anne, if you would let our listeners know, some are going to be familiar already with Medjugorje, others are not. If you would let them know, what is the status of the apparitions at Medjugorje in terms of the Roman Catholic Church?
Thanks for beginning with that question. I think that's such a critical question because there is a lot of misunderstanding about that. There's a lot of people who incorrectly think that Medjugorje has been condemned by the church, and that's absolutely not true. So I'm glad to have the opportunity to set the record straight. And it's a long and complicated history. I'll just summarize it in a very brief nutshell. The original bishop first of all, the apparitions of Medjugorje began June 24th, 1981. They are ongoing. They continue to happen every single day. Since the apparitions began, there have been three bishops who have been installed over the diocese. The first bishop who was bishop during the time of the apparitions, investigated the apparitions and condemned them. Now, that's why many people mistakenly think that the apparitions of Medjugorje are condemned, because that local bishop did condemn it. But, and this is hugely critical, when he submitted those findings to the Vatican, to the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, and Cardinal Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger was head of that congregation. He rejected those findings. He said, I do not accept this condemnation of Medjugorje. And not only that, but I strip the local bishop of that diocese of authority related to the messages of Medjugorje. Him and all of his successors.
Mm.
So the fact that the local bishop has condemned the first two, the third one, the one that's there now, is actually very supportive of the apparitions. The first two both publicly stated that they did not believe the apparitions were authentic, but their position, because by Vatican decree, was not binding on the faithful, because their jurisdiction over the events of Medjugorje was taken away by Pope Benedict when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. So that's where the misinformation comes from, that it's condemned because the local bishop did condemn it. But here's just a couple of points to show what the status is today. So after that happened, the Yugoslav Bishop Conference was put in charge of looking into the apparitions. in 1991, they basically said, we cannot say they are false and we cannot say they are true. Let's just wait and see. Mm. Was basically their position. And they said, in the meantime, all pilgrims are able to go there and any priest is able to accompany pilgrims. That was the official statement of the church related to Medjugorje. But in 2010, Pope Benedict, when he was pope already, he established a commission to look at Medjugorje, to investigate it. That commission lasted 4 years, came up with a number of recommendations. One of them was that the first 7 days of the apparitions be approved. That hasn't happened yet. That was just a recommendation. We're waiting for the Vatican to act on those recommendations. But two incredible things did come out of that investigation that started in 2010. And the first is that what's called an apostolic visitor was appointed to Medjugorje. Basically, in 2018, May 31st, 2018, which, interestingly enough, was the Feast of the Visitation, a feast where we celebrate Our Lady going out to encounter Elizabeth. That date was chosen for this milestone related to Medjugorje. Mm. And that milestone was that this bishop was appointed to directly oversee Medjugorje. So basically, effectively, since 2018, Medjugorje has effectively been directly under Vatican control. And the second thing, and this is, you know, one of the most important things to know, a year later, May 12th, 2019, the official pilgrimages to Medjugorje were approved, basically meaning that that it's now recognized as an official place that Catholics can go on pilgrimage and that any Catholic organization, any Catholic entity is able to take groups there. So these are all little steps and some big steps along the way to what we expect will be an eventual approval of these apparitions of Our Lady.
That's wonderful. And what were you speaking before when we were talking to you, Anne, before our interview? You were mentioning about the uniqueness of this bishop, that the bishop for the first time has been appointed just for the Medjugorje.
Yes. So, you know, most of the time all of the time, when there's a place of apparition, that place of apparition is, you know, there's a shrine director or whatever it is. Lourdes has its shrine director and Fatima has its shrine director. But those places of apparition or those places of spiritual significance are, you know, within that diocese. They're placed under the control or under the guidance and leadership of the bishop of that diocese.
Mm-hmm. The local ordinary.
As far as I know, I could be wrong, but I don't think so, that Medjugorje is the first place of apparition, the first place of spiritual significance in the church that has its own bishop installed, living on site in Medjugorje, who directly, his entire ministry is Medjugorje. It's not a diocese. It's not another territory of land. It is entirely and totally Medjugorje, and he reports directly to the Holy Father. That's hugely significant.
Hugely. I would say so.
Yes.
That's like the explanation point right there.
Exactly. And by the way, the apostolic visitor, the current one, the original one that was named, passed away last year, and so now there's a new one. But both of them have publicly talked about the fact that they are expecting that the apparitions of Medjugorje will be approved soon.
Oh,
these are men
no.
who have spoken directly, personally, one-on-one with the Holy Father, who have publicly stated these apparitions will be approved.
That's wonderful. That's that's good news.
Yes, it is.
And Jean, you have been there.
Yes, I went to Medjugorje in 1990, and it changed my world. So when people would speak, the church hasn't approved. It didn't. I really was like, well, what happened to my life? I am eternally grateful because if I didn't have Medjugorje, I don't know where I would have been. My parents took all six children. We were young adults, and we went right before communism was, they're about to have their revolution. Actually, we were there, and we were seeing the revolution start. And so when we arrived, when I put my foot on the ground in Medjugorje, there was a peace that was so supernatural and tangible. It was tangible. You could cut it with the knife. I've never since experienced that, but mm-hmm. being there, it was instant, and there was definitely something was happening. So the 10 o'clock mass, we woke up the next morning, went to the 10 o'clock mass. It was absolutely packed. Every heart was in full worshiping the Lord, in full. And I'd never experienced a church so packed with so many people with their heart totally abandoned to God and lifted up to Him. And it was powerful. And I walk out of the church and I said, oh my goodness, God exists. Now, my faith was, you know, I was practicing Catholic, but God existed. He exists. The Catholic Church is the truth. Get me into the confessional. That's the three things I said.
And Jean, you're really speaking to something powerful, and where we'd like to go. We can start a little bit before our break, but where we'd like to go from here, Anne, if that's all right, is about speaking about the fruits.
Yes. Abundance.
The fruits of Medjugorje. So Jean experienced in her own life, and I don't think that's unique from what I've heard.
You know, I've been taking pilgrimage groups there for almost 25 years now, and myself have been a pilgrim there literally since the fourth day of the apparitions. We'll maybe get into that a little bit more a little later, but I can tell you that, you know, there's lots of beautiful places in the church, lots of shrines, lots of pilgrimage places where people can go and can be touched. And it's all a grace. It's all a tremendous blessing. But there is, I have to say, there is a special grace that is poured out in Medjugorje. And I think it's because it's the place of God's intervention in our times. It is mm-hmm. the place where God has chosen to intervene in our world, in our time, and in our space. You know, when people think to themselves, looking at the situation of the world, when is God going to do something because things are so bad out there? Well, Medjugorje is the answer. Medjugorje is where God is doing something. And that's where it's so important, I think, for people to understand what some of the fruits are. And there's so many fruits. There's so many directions that I can go in terms of answering this question. But I want to highlight one, which I think is the most important. And that is when Pope Benedict established the commission to investigate Medjugorje in 2010, he asked for statistics to be collected. All, you know, how many healings, how many conversions, how many prayer groups have come from here, how many everything. And one of the statistics he wanted was how many people, how many men claim to have received their vocation to the priesthood in Medjugorje. The official number of stories that were submitted to the Vatican is somewhere close to 700. Wow. But what I always say to people is that number of 700 men, now, first of all, that number in and of itself is staggering, that in a span of 40 years, 700 men received their vocations to the priesthood from one place on earth, from Medjugorje. But I always tell people that you have to qualify that number, because I know lots and lots of priests who have said to me, I didn't know that they were collecting that information. If I knew, I would have sent my story in. Because my vocation came from there, too. And so there's many, many priests who never submitted their stories to the Vatican. And in addition to that, I also know many priests who already were priests when they came to Medjugorje, but maybe they were struggling in their priesthood. Maybe they were lost. I know one who was on his way out the door. He had already contacted his superior and said, I'm leaving. Oh. That priest went to Medjugorje, and his priesthood was restored.
Praise
and so
God.
If you look at the number of priests whose vocation was born there or reborn there, that number is definitely between 1 and 2,000, maybe even more than that. And what I sometimes say to people is, find me a place on earth today that you can say that this many priests was born of one single place. I don't think there is such a place that many priests was born of any place. And the thing about these guys, you know, we have so many incredible, beautiful priests in our church, right? But we also have, you know, we've also been through a time of purging. We've also been through a time of tremendous crisis where a lot of people have seen just a lot of painful things that have come out, right? What is Our Lady doing through these guys? She is sending them out one by one into their parishes, into their dioceses, into their communities. And these guys are faithful, loving, Orthodox priests whose goal is to serve the body of Christ. And I've met so many of them who have said, I am willing to die for the truth. I'm not going to sacrifice the truth.
And I'm going to have to jump in here because we have to go to break. But when we come back, we're going to revisit this wonderful bounty of the fruits.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I want to.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Welcome back, ladies, to our show, Joyful Echo. I am Jean, and here's Kathleen with me. We have a guest today. We love our guests, and her name is Anne Vocek. But we hope we're saying your last name properly, Anne, because we're not saying Medjugorje, right?
No, that Medjugorje sounded perfect.
Oh, wonderful. And she is an expert, used to live and was born in Medjugorje, and now is in the United States and takes many tours there. But we were talking about previously the good fruits that are coming from Medjugorje and about the Orthodox priests that just love Our Lady. And Anne had said, a lot of them said they were willing to die for the faith. And I have a funny, Anne. My dad received his calling in Medjugorje. My mom died 10 months after we came back from Medjugorje suddenly. And then 8 years later, my dad was became a priest as a second vocation. And he's in this diocese. A lot of people know Father Ferris. They love him. But we went out to lunch about a year ago, and we're sitting there having a nice lunch, and he looks up at me and he says, Jeannie, I just want you to know something. If I'm martyred for being a priest, do not be sad. This is okay.
Wow.
not just like
not the conversation you have every day.
No, I'm like we're having lunch, and then the waiter comes up. You want more tea? I'm like, no. But he's serious. I mean, he loves absolute, and he is such an incredible priest. He's so beautiful. But he, Medjugorje is very powerful for our family. The Lord was preparing us for the future, for sure.
Yes, and even in addition to the priestly vocations coming from Medjugorje, there are other kinds of callings that Our Lady delivers there, right?
Oh, yeah. It is. Truly stunning, you know. There's. I don't even know if they collected the statistics when they did the investigation starting in 2010. I don't even know if they collected the statistics of the nuns who received their vocations. But you, and so that I just, you know, I know that there's. It's not as many as priests, I don't think, but there's so many women who found their vocation to religious life there as well. But even, but you know, fundamental to society is marriage today, right? And how many marriages have gone there. I have one of my dearest friends in the world had a crisis in her marriage, and my friend said to her husband, please come with me to Medjugorje so we can bring healing to our marriage. Their marriage was healed in Medjugorje. So how many people are there who's been touched in that way? I can say for myself, I found my vocation to the single life there because my passion is bringing this message to people. And this ministry takes me all over the world. And so, you know, it's not something I can do as a married woman and a mother. And it was in Medjugorje, through Medjugorje, that I found my vocation to this ministry. People go there. What happens is people fall in love with God in a deep and profound way there. And they look for ways to serve him, to bring that message to others through the vocation of life that they're called to, whether it's marriage, priesthood, religious life, single life, whatever it is. And they flourish in that vocation when they have and you know, one of the things I like to say to people too is Medjugorje is not about, yes, it's the apparitions of Our Lady, but what happens in Medjugorje is not centered on the Blessed Mother. What she does, as she always does, as she has done from the beginning of salvation history, is she points us to Jesus. And so what happens in Medjugorje is people might be drawn there by the supernatural phenomenon that's happening there, by the apparitions and kind of the sensational stuff that they hear about it, you know, the rosaries turning to gold and the sun spinning and all that stuff. But when they get there, they encounter in a profound way the presence of Christ in the sacramental life of the church. And that's what they fall in love with. They don't, you know, like when I left Medjugorje, I didn't feel like I needed to speak to people about Our Lady. What I felt like I needed to speak to people about is how that encounter with God that I had in Medjugorje that changed my life, how that encounter with God can change the lives of everybody if they open their hearts to the Lord. And that's what the Lord is doing there. He is leading people closer to his heart in the sacramental life of the church. And that's bringing renewal in the hearts of millions.
Amen. You know, Anne, it's when you spoke those words about falling in love with the Lord and then looking for a way to respond, a grateful response to that love, that really, I mean, our show is called Joyful Echo. That really is what it is intended to be. That joyful echo of the love that the Father has showered on Jean and on me and continues to shower on us. This is our human, mortal, imperfect attempt to echo that love in the world. So I can appreciate that.
That's what happened to me, Anne, and I don't want to cut you off. Do you have more to say? Because you're just so like, I don't want to interrupt.
No.
I want our guests to, because as you were speaking, what my heart is doing is just burning because you're speaking the language that happened with me. When I left Medjugorje, you're right. It wasn't about Our Lady. It was about the Eucharist. I started falling in love with our Pope and his writings, John Paul II, and he led me to the Blessed Sacrament. I didn't even know what the Blessed Sacrament was. That's just what it was, ladies, back then, in our faith life as a young 24-year-old girl. But when I came back to the South and saw many Catholic women leaving Jesus in the Eucharist, I became like zeal for the Lord. It could not consume me. I mean, it just consumed me. It, and it went out. And Kathleen and I's friendship is a fruit of Medjugorje, because when she said to me, "Jean, would you like to start join our Bible study?" There was, we didn't have babysitting at the time for the church. We were just brand new church, and I just heard a voice said, "No, you're going to start a Bible study for women." And we are 25. We're in our 26th year now, called Mary's Women of Joy, and our focus is the Holy Eucharist. And women are staying within their church. Mm-hmm. The encounter. Yeah. When you go to Medjugorje, you encounter. And I'm like, how can I bring this here? And I remember Mary saying, I need people to go out and they will encounter as if they came to Medjugorje. And I think that's true.
Yeah. Jean, I love that you use the word encounter, because when I speak about Medjugorje, that's one of the words that I most frequently use, because what happens there is you people have an encounter with God. And when you have an authentic encounter with God, it necessarily is life transforming. You cannot go back to the way that you were when you encounter. And I love that your the title of the show is Joyful Echo. I love that the title of the Bible study is Mary's Women of Joy, because that encounter with God brings a deep joy into our lives that doesn't necessarily always mean happiness in terms of like everything is, you know, rosy. We still go through crises and trials and everything. But there's a deep-seated joy when you know that God is at the root of your life, when you've had that encounter with Him. And just like, you know, just like anybody who receives an incredible gift, you want to share that with everybody. Mm-hmm. When you have that encounter with Him, when you see the transformative power of that encounter, you want to go out into the highways and byways and tell the world about it. And that's what you guys are doing through Joyful Echo and through Mary's Women of Joy, and you know, that's what I'm doing through the ministry that I'm doing. You can't help but speak about it, because it's so amazing.
Well, and speaking about it, so when this show airs Wednesday at 5:00, it will be the Wednesday before you will be speaking at Charlotte Catholic High School. So February 11th, 2023, from 1:30 to 3:30. You coming to our diocese and speaking at Charlotte Catholic High School is the fruit of a group of women who went on pilgrimage. I'm not sure how many of them were there for the first time, but a group who went on pilgrimage last fall with Father Reed, who is the pastor at St. Anne's, my parish, and he went on this pilgrimage with them. And these women, this is part of their response, part of their joyful echo, to say more people need to know about this opportunity to encounter the Lord. You're going to be speaking, and a friend of yours who experienced a healing there is going to be speaking as well. So before we go into our prayer time, when we close this episode, I want to assure our listeners, number one, that we are going to have a second show with you because there's so much more to talk about. And then just to say, and please join us in our prayer time now.
Amen. So,
we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Amen. We come before you in great praise and thanksgiving. Who would ever have thought that you would be granting and rejoicing in this conversation 30, 40 years after my visit and Anne's living in Medjugorje, that we get to speak to all the women's hearts. Ladies, Lord, have blessed these beautiful women, that if there's a beautiful stirring in their heart right now. I have seen and watched you make a way for even those that cannot afford to go to Medjugorje. You get them there, Lord. So I just want to bless the women that are listening. If you have the strong desire that is stirring in you from the Holy Spirit to go, trust that He will get you there. Trust that you are called to go and just experience God in a new way, in a beautiful way. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift of Medjugorje. We thank you that you are coming to this time in this world to speak hope, that you, Lord, are victory and goodness. We praise you for that, Father.
And Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to praise your holy name. And Lord, I just ask for a special blessing on everybody that's listening to these words now, that fire of faith may be ignited into every listener, into every soul. I especially lift up, Lord, all the people that will be attending on Saturday, all the people that will be coming to hear this joyful news about what you are doing in Medjugorje. I pray that your spirit fill their hearts, that there be an anointing on everybody in that room, everybody that hears this message, everybody that listens to this show, and just, Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to know and encounter you, and for allowing us to know your life-transformative love in our lives. We thank you, Lord, and we love you.
Father, I lift up to you, along with all of this praise and the thanksgiving, not even a fraction of what you're due, Father, in justice, but I lift up to you in petition at this time all those who are living and struggling in a war-torn area mm-hmm. right now, because it is Our Lady's desire as Queen of Peace to bring to us, to deliver to us the peace that will come to our land only through her Son, a real and lasting peace given to us by the King of Peace. And in the midst of their sufferings, I would beg you to send your mother, to send our mother in consolation, to send the Holy Spirit to be a balm for their hearts, for their souls, to be a renewal of their faith, that even in the midst of such suffering and what seems like unbelievable cruelty, Lord, that they will still, through your grace, know that you are good and you will provide. You will make a way.
Yes, and we just bring all of our beautiful listeners to the heart of Mary. Mary, we place all of our listeners into your most immaculate heart, that the flame of your love will protect us, that we will love you more and more deeply, but you always bring us to Jesus in a deeper way. And now we praise you for your motherly care, making sure her Son is the center of our life. And we praise you, and we ask for this great grace for all of us here today.
Before we leave in prayer, I want to lift up especially those who are going to be at the talk on Saturday who are not Catholic.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
The ears who may be hearing for the first time about how deeply connected Our Lady is to us and to the church that her Son founded, that those ears will be ready to hear, and those hearts will love in a new way.
That's right. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Anne. And I'm excited for our next show with you.
Yes, ladies. I know.
Thank you, Jean and Kathleen. It's a joy to chat with you. I feel like I've known you forever already.
I know.
It's wonderful. Our Lady has that kind of touch.
She does. She does.
All right, ladies. We love you all. Thank you for listening to us and helping you draw closer to Jesus, because you're helping us by listening. So we thank you for that. And we will have Anne with us next week on the show.
Yes, we will. Wednesdays at 5, there's always a new Joyful Echo. Have a blessed week.
Amen.